Good morning, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So today we are going to turn our focus to monetary and fiscal support as it relates to emerging market economies, this in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we will also touch on the implications of all of this to asset class performance and how to think about positioning within emerging markets at this time. So joining me here on the line for the conversation today, I'm pleased to welcome back Alejo Zarwanko, Chief Investment Officer for the Emerging Markets for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Alejo, good morning, welcome back, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dan. It's always great to be here.
And Alejo, real quickly, I would just like to congratulate you. I know this is your first podcast joining us since taking on this new capacity as CIO for the Emerging Markets in the Americas. So very well-deserved, very exciting, and congratulations to you on that.
Much appreciated, Dan. It's great to work with you, and I'm eager to take on this new role.
Likewise. Thank you, Alejo. And I know today our conversation will be focusing in specifically, as you often do on a monthly basis, you like to drop by the podcast and discuss the Investing in Emerging Markets monthly flagship piece. And the title for the month of July is Liquidity on Tap. And I know, Alejo, within the piece, you talk about the confirmation we got last month back in June that monetary and fiscal authorities are here to step in to support the economies amid the recession. Can you begin by sharing with us some more details on that?
Absolutely, Dan. As you highlighted, the last few weeks have really confirmed that countries are ready to loosen up policy in response to the global recession. Starting with the U.S. Fed, as you know, it indicated recently that it would leave short-term interest rates at the zero lower bound for at least 2 years. This is a very long time period. It started buying individual U.S. corporate bonds, and it also expressed an openness to target specific levels of long-term interest rates. This tool, called yield curve control, has not been used in the U.S. since at least World War II. In addition, we've seen that quantitative easing measures have crossed the realm of developed markets and have also taken roots in emerging markets. In a recent report titled After COVID-19, Quantitative Monetary Policy Tools in EM, we describe how a large number of emerging markets are exploring these alternative ways of implementing monetary policy. Let me give you one example. The Chilean Central Bank, just a few days ago, committed to deploy an additional 10% of GDP to its freshly minted asset buying program. 17 additional emerging market countries are toying with these tools, right? And so the amount of easing is really truly unprecedented. The types of tools that are being deployed are being broadened. And we should not forget that fiscal efforts around the globe have been no less remarkable. In the U.S., for instance, additional rounds of fiscal spending is being discussed, and fiscal deficits around the world have ballooned. So by and large, we are really experiencing significant amounts of stimulus, both monetary and fiscal, from both monetary and fiscal perspective, Dan.
Alejo, how is all of this relevant to emerging market assets? What are the implications here?
This is very relevant for global assets and emerging market assets in particular. As you know, many emerging markets are still facing a number of challenges. Out of the top 10 countries in the world with the largest number of new virus cases per capita, 5 come from the emerging world. But at the same time, the developments that I described earlier have supported and should continue to support emerging market financial assets. And I want to help put things in context. So far this year, developed market central banks have expanded their balance sheets by over $4.5 trillion. $4.5 trillion. Then this is enough liquidity to purchase the entire universe of emerging markets external sovereign and corporate bonds. This is enough money to purchase roughly 60% of the market cap of emerging market equities. right? And so the amount of stimulus, once again, put into context, incredibly large. Some of this liquidity has already flowed into emerging market equity and bond markets, and more of it will certainly flow into these markets in the future, as we do think they continue to offer attractive yields. After all, this is precisely one of the consequences of these easing programs, as they depress yields on safer assets such as U.S. Treasuries. They force investors to take on more risk. So while global yields, particularly of safe haven assets, have collapsed since the beginning of the year, the attractiveness of yields on offer in emerging markets has become more apparent.
The scale of the stimulus is extraordinary, especially when you put it in the context that you did for us. Maybe in terms of positioning as we wrap up our conversation for today, can you provide some guidance for emerging market investors on how they should consider allocation in this context?
Of course, Dan. Starting with fixed income, we maintain U.S. dollar-denominated emerging market sovereign bonds as one of our most preferred asset classes. This asset class provides a 5.5% yield, which we think it's good carry. And we do think further spread compression is likely in coming months as countries continue to bring the virus under control, as commodity prices grind higher in coming quarters. We would expect an additional marginal spread compression. As of today, the asset class is trading at a spread over U.S. Treasuries of 470 basis points, 4.7% roughly. We would expect this spread to come down to 400 basis points or 4% by mid-2021, and therefore the total returns of the asset class should be attractive, justifying our most preferred recommendation. In addition, as you might recall, Dan, we have elevated global equities to most preferred in our portfolios. These global equities include indeed emerging market equities. And within the world of emerging market equities, we highlight opportunities in India. As one of the worst performing Asian markets this year, India, we think, should play catch up on the back of robust earnings growth prospects, still positive reform momentum, and also attractive valuations. Finally, thinking about the world of emerging market currencies, after their recent appreciation vis-a-vis the U.S. dollar on average, we do think investors should expect a more moderate return outlook ahead. Within emerging market currencies, we continue to like the Russian ruble, which we think offers a powerful combination of drivers in the emerging markets, that is, sensitivity to the global economic recovery and the backing of a good track record in macroeconomic management by policymakers. So in summary, Dan, we do think there are opportunities in emerging markets, the most attractive risk-reward. We continue to find it in U.S. dollar-denominated emerging market sovereign bonds, a very well-diversified asset class, with a good track record of risk-adjusted returns historically. We're talking about investing in roughly 800 bonds from more than 70 different emerging market countries, so you're not exposed to a particular market, but you're trying to harvest carry from a wide array of countries and regions within the emerging markets. This is, our most preferred asset class within emerging markets. And also, we have elevated global equities, emerging market equities included, to most preferred, highlighting this month opportunities in India.
Alejo, terrific insights as always, providing some scope and scale around the kinds of stimulus measures that we've been seeing implemented across emerging market economies in response to the pandemic and the types of effects the pandemic has been having on these emerging market economies, getting into the implications for emerging market assets, and of course how to be positioned within the asset class as well. So great catching up with you as always, Alejo. Look forward to our next conversation and have a nice 4th of July holiday weekend.
Same to you, Dan. Thank you for having me, and looking forward to our next touch base.
Likewise. Thank you, Alejo. And again, we have been joined today by Alejo Zarwanko, Chief Investment Officer for the Emerging Markets for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. And there are many publications available for you now up on UBS Online Services. Again, though, I would like to highlight the publication that Alejo and I have been making reference to during our conversation this morning, the Investing in Emerging Markets monthly flagship, again, the title for the month of July being Liquidity on Tap. So for UBS clients, please reach out to your financial advisor if you would like to receive the Investing in Emerging Markets flagship publication for the month of July directly, though again, the piece can now be located up on UBS Online Services. Top of the morning, we'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.